Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
A long bomb from Lopez. There's your heat check. Bombs away from about 30 feet away. Brooke Lopez is erupting here in this first half.
Butts Talk starts now.
And Brooklyn is going to steal one here in five serve form, coming from 13 down in the second half.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
A tough one tonight for the Bucks, who are playing without Giannis and Damian Lillard for the third consecutive game, but this was a game that in many ways you should have won. We've gone over a number of the key plays down the stretch on the network postgame show, but time to hear from you as well, and get your thoughts. In a 111-105 loss for the Bucks tonight at Fiserv Forum. 855-616-1620 is that number to join us. And it's not an excuse to say you were playing without Giannis and Damian Lillard. It's a fact. 60 points per game that was off the floor for this Bucks team. What really stood out was, I think, something that Doc Rivers spoke about after the game tonight in the ball pressure of the Brooklyn Nets, the way they were able to just force the Bucks to speed up their tempo. And I thought one of the more critical things was Brooke Lopez finished with 20 points in this game, but just two came in the second half. He was huge for the Bucks in the first half, going 4-for-4 on threes. And that's when the offense was really starting to click. And we saw the Bucks extending their lead in that first half of this game. You were unable to do that in the second half, and a big piece of that was the pressure it seemed like the Bucks were constantly under in this game. They led by as many as 13 points, but it never felt safe late in the third quarter, and certainly for all of the fourth quarter, and especially from the midpoint on, when the Bucks and Nets were basically trading the lead or trading ties, and Brooklyn ultimately pulling away in the final 2.5 minutes of this game tonight. So that terrific start for Brooke Lopez goes for naught with just 2 points scored in the second half. Bobby Portis, overall, another good game for you in Giannis' absence. 35 minutes, 7 of 16 from the field, 18 points and 8 rebounds. Turnovers, turnovers, turnovers. We mentioned this specifically on the pregame show before this game tonight, that the Bucks have to protect the basketball. And in many ways it feels like a broken record, because I feel like we have singled out turnovers preemptively quite a bit already this season. But games like tonight, we talked about this just a couple of days ago before that game in Chicago that the Bucks ultimately won. Games like tonight, it is especially critical to protect the basketball. When you are down the offensive firepower that the Bucks were, with no Giannis and no Damian Lillard, it's not to say you can ever place less value on your possessions, but when you're down that scoring punch and have the question of where is the scoring consistently going to come from, you especially have to put a high emphasis of priority on protecting the basketball, valuing your possessions with the ball. The Bucks did not do that tonight. The Brooklyn Nets forced a lot of turnovers. We had nearly 50 total turnovers in this game, more than 50 points scored off of turnovers combined for these two teams. And it was largely the Brooklyn Nets that were dictating that tempo, forcing those turnovers. They had their own share of them tonight, but a lot of those were miscues. And I think there was a lot of opportunities for the Bucks down the stretch as well that they were unable to take advantage of. But the stories to this game, turnovers for both of these teams, but more specifically what the Nets defense was able to do to the Bucks with those turnovers and transition points scored off of those. And the biggest plays of the game, the toughest shots that were made, they all belonged to the Brooklyn Nets, who come into Milwaukee and beat the Bucks now for the second time this season, 111-105. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Is, I think, the important thing to keep in mind as well is this, what Doc Rivers said after the game. There's a lot to take from this. We being the Bucks, did a lot of things tonight we have not done recently. We have not done a lot of, especially since a rough start to the season. I don't want to keep harping on the 2-8 number. It's there. It's something to be proud of, to as we've mentioned a number of times here, stop the dig. Don't keep digging yourself a hole. Look at some other teams in the league that dealt with slow starts, some of that due to injuries, but other teams that have dealt with slow starts that are still trying to rebound from that start. Not to say the Bucks are still not rebounding, but the Bucks aren't in that spot where they're still below 500 and still trying to get to that level. So they do deserve an immense amount of credit for the work that they have done in these last 5 to 6 weeks to get to the level they currently are at. But I do think at some point you got to let the 2-8 number go. As we heard from a number of players, Bobby Portis said this. Damian Lillard has said it. Doc Rivers, a handful of guys. Stretches of 2-8 basketball, it's not uncommon. It happens a lot across the league. It'll happen in January. It'll happen in February with teams. The difference is this came the first 10 games of the season for our team when everybody is paying attention to everything that's happening right out of the gate. So there's no escaping it. The bigger piece is to focus on the 14 and now 5 record since then. Okay, what is translatable? What can carry over? And Brandon and I talked about this a couple of times recently. I've talked about it on other shows as well. Some of the defensive numbers that stand out that are relatable and that you do believe this will travel. This is something that I don't think is a blip on the radar. I think we saw parts of that tonight, just not down the stretch. But it's tough to take wholesale takeaways from your third consecutive game played without your two best players and the top scoring duo in the league, in Giannis and Damian Lillard. 855-616-1620 is that number to reach us tonight on Bucks Talk. I want to take a look at some of those numbers defensively, but revisit some of those comments from Doc Rivers, and especially down the stretch. Those final 5.5 minutes or so of this game, three turning points, it felt like, even though there's one turning point in theory, but it felt like there were three moments that stood out the most that really defined this game. And they all belonged to the Brooklyn Nets. So we'll get into that conversation coming up next on Bucks Talk. 111-105, the final score tonight inside of Fiserv Forum. It's the Brooklyn Nets beating the Bucks. No Giannis, no Damian Lillard. That was the big question coming into this game as Giannis was still listed initially on the injury report with back spasms. Midway through the afternoon, that was updated to the non-COVID illness that has been ripping through the entire locker room that has kept Damian Lillard off the floor for the past few games as well. And when that update was made, I think you all got the sense Giannis is probably not going to play in this one if we've changed his designation, remaining questionable, but what it was that was keeping him questionable. And I think one of the other unfortunate parts of all of this is something Doc Rivers has said a couple of games ago, in that this was the game that he and his staff had kind of circled on the calendar during the NBA Cup run, that tournament portion of the Bucks' schedule, even before they knew they were playing in the Cup Championship against the Oklahoma City Thunder. It was this game that they felt this is going to be where we, for all intents and purposes, get our sea legs back. That the run through the cup in that tournament-style format, the level of competition you were going up against was certainly one factor of it. Once you did advance to the championship in the cup, the emotional aspect of playing in a game with stakes during the regular season that had something attached to it, and the natural come-down from that to get right back into the swing of things with, I don't want to say meaningless, but regular season basketball games. And this is another thing that, in fairness to Doc Rivers, he mentioned this many times before the Bucks not only were in the championship game of the NBA Cup, but were going deep into the NBA Cup. And that was, look, I like what the league has done with the schedule leading into these Cup games where he had a decent amount of time off. I mean, if the Bucks would have lost in the quarterfinals, they would have had from, you know, that Tuesday night was their game against the Atlanta Hawks. They wouldn't have played again until after the semifinals. So either that Sunday or Monday, depending on what happened in the Hawks-Knicks game. So it would have been Sunday evening Monday night in Milwaukee against the Knicks. But you have that time off going into it. And Doc's point was, great, let's do the same on the back end because the Oklahoma City Thunder played Thursday. I mean, the Bucks had 2 days off, but the Thunder played Thursday. 1 day off You fly back Wednesday. You leave Tuesday night from Vegas and get into OKC early Wednesday morning. Then you're playing Thursday, and it's a back-to-back. Bucks had 2 days off, but they go to Cleveland, and then they come back to Milwaukee for a back-to-back. So that was the thing he wants to see adjusted is, let's build in time off before and after for this thing. If it is, in fact, as important as we want to make it, let's buy that time, and let's make sure not only are there stakes attached to this and there's time off where that was one thing we're not spending a whole lot of time talking about because it was not an issue. You were dealing with teams that were well-rested and essentially at full strength. Like I know Chris Middleton didn't play in the Cup championship game, but that wasn't an injury. That was an illness that kept him off the floor. So that was the benefit of that time off going into it. But as Doc Rivers and a number of coaches would like to see, let's see the same thing on the back end because it felt like, to close the point, this was the game they circled as this is where we can start to get back to normal. We had to deal with the immediate return to action, the emotional come down, a back-to-back to deal with, a lot of road games as well, the Christmas holiday that you're dealing with as well. Like when we get those 2 days off and return to the floor, there should be a semblance of normal. And we're right back in the swing of things. And unfortunately, you didn't get it because still no Giannis and Damian Lillard. So that is going to be interesting to monitor to see what changes on the injury report. I know Damian Lillard was active on social media on Christmas Eve, and I believe his wording was this was the most sick he has felt in his entire life with whatever this virus is that he's had. And again, it started with Chris Middleton, and it's made its way through seemingly everyone on the roster but Brook Lopez and Bobby Portis, who are both vital to this Bucks team tonight. 855-616-1620 is that number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. But some of those points I mentioned I did want to get to kind of wrap up the discussion of those final few minutes of the game from Doc Rivers was the ball pressure that we saw from the Brooklyn Nets all night long. We didn't handle it well, was the message after the game. We, as in the Bucks, did not handle it well. They sped us up. I thought we played well for about 2.5 quarters. We were moving the ball. We were moving around the floor, able to avoid it. That's how you beat that pressure, is passing the ball. And the Bucks were doing that in the early going and getting good shots and open looks and a lot of movement off the ball as well. Andre Jackson Jr. was huge in that regard. But then it just kind of grinded to a halt in the second half. And as Doc Rivers put it, we did a lot of things we haven't done. And we haven't done especially recently. It happens. We'll watch the tape. We'll learn from it. But the big thing to learn from is that ball pressure. And that's what kind of brings us back to the personnel with this team in that you need shot creators and initiators to beat that type of ball pressure. Ball movement is certainly a huge key. But you need those trustworthy guys that can keep the ball moving, that can initiate the offense. Your two best guys at doing that were both out tonight. In Giannis and Damian Lillard. So in that sense, it did feel like this may be a perfect storm. And one of the reasons why we made so much mention of turnovers before this game, statistically, it is the one thing the Brooklyn Nets do very well defensively, is they force turnovers. 10th best or 9th best turnover rate in the league defensively coming into play. In other words, what percentage of possessions do you have that results in a turnover on the defensive end? The Brooklyn Nets, one of the best teams in the league, and that's certainly one of the things that we saw in this game tonight. And it's where you especially miss Giannis and Damian Lillard to just be able to keep things moving, much like we saw in the first half of this game. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. When we return, not all bad for the Bucks, as I thought there were some important pieces that we saw tonight from some of those members of the second unit, or most of the time, the second unit. We'll get into that discussion next on Bucks Talk. 6-point loss tonight on the home floor for the Bucks, who again played their third straight game with no Giannis and no Damian Lillard, and a Brooklyn Nets team that has certainly seen their share of challenges this season on both ends of the floor, but this was a game that was ultimately decided by turnovers and really three key plays down the stretch in this game. So play number one was that banked-in three-pointer by Noah Clowney. That, I think you can make a strong case, was the turning point in this game. It was 99-99 with 2.5 minutes left. Bucks defense played well enough to force a tie-up and a jump ball. There was 1.4 seconds on the shot clock. Bobby Portis wins the tip, tips it back to Noah Clowney, who had already hit 5 threes over the course of the game, but this was a deep three, and he was off balance and banks it in. When shots like that fall, you typically start to wonder, is this one of those games, and is this one not in the cards for us? That was certainly what it was starting to feel like. That gave the Nets the 3-point lead. The Bucks would turn it over their next trip down the floor. Nick Claxton would get fouled and knock down 2 free throws. So it goes from a tie game and a game that the Bucks were in control of for most of that second quarter, basically all of the third quarter, and at least had the lead through the first half of the fourth quarter. And now all of a sudden you're down 2 possessions at 105-99 in this game. And Chris Middleton would come up big with a 3-pointer. But the other massive play in this game, that 3 by Middleton, made it a 3-point game with 106 remaining, which is more than enough time to get a stop. You don't even need a 3 from there. You can play the numbers game and get a 2, get another stop, and win this game. But it was one of those miscues that Doc Rivers pointed to and said, look, we did a lot of things tonight that we haven't been doing this season, or at least haven't been doing recently, not since those first 10 or so games of the season. And one of those things was the Bucks trying to basically give the Brooklyn Nets a dose of their own medicine with that ball pressure, doubling Ben Simmons on the perimeter, which led to a wide open Cam Johnson, who knocks down a 3 and gets fouled on the play. He would hit that free throw to make it a 7-point Brooklyn Nets lead with 47 seconds left. Now, Chris Middleton would hit a 3 again very quickly to keep this a 2-possession game at 105 for the Bucks, 109-105 the score there. And that's where, again, the Nets kept giving the Bucks opportunities in this game. A 4-point game, the Brooklyn Nets took an early 3 and just took 7 seconds off the shot clock. But the Nets get the offensive rebound. Noah Clowney is Nets get the offensive rebound, and on the inbounds, it goes out of bounds. On the inbounds, Noah Clowney commits an offensive foul. So here are the Bucks with a second chance at life, down by 4 points, with just under 30 seconds remaining at 29.8 on the shot clock. But a rushed 3-pointer when you had time to get another basket and play the foul game and work for a better shot. And again, it's Cam Johnson knocking down 2 free throws that essentially iced the game there. So all of these plays, and one play we did not mention, Chris Middleton picks up a flagrant foul on Cam Johnson when he does a rip through, catches Cam Johnson in the face with his elbow. It was another play that Doc Rivers said in his communication with the officials. He looked at it and was essentially told, look, the foul was committed earlier, but we missed it. And what we saw was Chris Middleton getting him in the face with his elbows. We have to call that. And it is a flagrant foul by the letter of the law. Doc Rivers' point was, yeah, Chris needs some space. And we could see during the course of those free throws by Cam Johnson, that's what Chris was communicating to the official as well, and kind of mimicking the play and reenacting it of, look, I need space to be able to operate here, and I'm trying to clear out some space. He's leaning forward into my airspace, but to no avail. So that was a huge, huge sequence, as well as the Nets turned it into 2 possessions there, knocking down the 2 free throws by Cam Johnson and scoring on that play. The point of all of it is, on their second chance at it, the point of all of it is, at that point, too, it should be pointed out, it was a 97-92 lead. You get 4 points, and it's down to a 1-point lead with 4.5 minutes left. And then again, about a minute later is when that other big play would occur there on the Noah Clowney 3-pointer. So all of these plays, the point of this, is these are all winning plays. And these are all plays that can, especially when they're happening late or just happening in the fourth quarter period, these can change the complexion of the game and swing the game. Every single one of them went the way of the Brooklyn Nets. So this isn't just the Nets forced turnovers, and that's why they won the game. The Nets made some tough shots, and the Nets made plays down the stretch. They did give the Bucks opportunities, but the Nets made the most of it. So credit to the Brooklyn Nets. But tonight you really saw what you're missing with Giannis and Damian Lillard off the floor for the Bucks. As I mentioned, this isn't just doom and gloom. There was a lot of positives that came from this game tonight. And I think the biggest of those is what we're continuing to see develop for this Bucks bench. One guy, you can make a case, broke out of a bit of a shooting slump that he's been in. Another guy continues to give you consistent boosts off the bench. And one other player is really starting to make a case at not only more playing time, but stealing someone else's minutes. We'll explain who those three players are coming up after this on Bucks Talk. 111-105, final score tonight inside of Fiserv Forum. The Brooklyn Nets come to town and beat the Bucks again. No Giannis or Damian Lillard. We hope both of those players should be able to make their return on Saturday when the Bucks take on the Bulls. And look, the good news to come from that is at least it's not injury. That their designation on the injury reports the past few days have shifted from the injuries, in the case of Damian Lillard, the calf strain, and Giannis, the back spasms, to the illness. So there's at least that. But I mentioned there's more positive to come. Not more positive than negative, but there were positives to come from tonight's game. And to me, it starts with the bench. Taurean Prince, I thought, was important enough that we've seen Taurean Prince's numbers take a bit of a dip with the return of Chris Middleton, and that's only natural. He has now suddenly shifted out of the starting lineup, which we all assumed was inevitable once Chris continued to get some minutes under him. Still at about 25 minutes for his restriction, I believe that's where he sat tonight, 26 minutes for Chris Middleton, which would be the most minutes played in the game so far this season. But we knew it was a matter of time that Chris would be reinserted into the starting lineup, and you wondered what effect that would have on Taurean Prince. And for the past few games, shot hadn't been there. The three-pointers were not falling. We saw that number plummet. At the time of Chris Middleton's return, Taurean Prince was the NBA's leading three-point shooter. Those numbers have since tumbled. And that's one of the adjustments to keep an eye on, is shifting from a starter who was playing very heavy minutes. And I think you could maybe make a case more minutes ideally than the Bucks wanted, but that was just the roster that they had. If we got two guys that kind of fill this spot. If they can be a small ball four, they can play the three, they can give us some shooting on the perimeter. In the case of Chris Middleton, a little more than that as well. But these are the two guys we have. One of them's not here yet, so Taurean Prince is going to have to take a bulk of those minutes. I thought it was really important to see Taurean Prince go 3 of 6 on his threes tonight and start to see the ball go through the net once again, because having both of those guys changes things for the Bucks in terms of the lineups they can play. We've heard Doc Rivers talk a couple of times earlier this season about the desire to play smaller at times, but you know, some of the groupings, we can't do it until Chris is back. It's not to say you can't do it without Chris or with Taurean Prince, but you need both of these guys to do it for various reasons. You have both Taurean Prince and Chris that can play the small ball four. They can play the three as well. You can play both of them together with Giannis and have even more versatility and switching ability. But you need both of them available to be able to do that. And now we've had a chance to see a little bit more of that these past three games by necessity with no Giannis on the floor. But now Taurean Prince starting to knock down shots again. Very important for this team. Another important bench piece. Gary Trent Jr. shot 60% from the floor tonight, and 2 of 2 on his threes. And Gary Trent Jr. is another guy, when I say, look, sometimes it just feels like we got to move past the 2-8. I don't want to diminish it. I don't want to take away from how well the Bucks have played since then and how important it is and how proud you should be of digging yourself out of that hole. Gary Trent Jr., in terms of individual players, is probably the guy that would point to those first 10 games and say, same for me. Look at some of the shooting numbers that I had. When all along you caution, look, this is not him. We heard from Doc Rivers, too. You don't just forget how to shoot, or you don't just not become a shooter overnight when you've done things like Gary Trent Jr. has in this league. it's going to turn around. And that's another piece that we have really consistently seen for the last 15 or so games is Gary Trent Jr.'s not just shooting, but his offense as a whole. And I thought that was especially important in games like tonight where you're down some of those facilitators and shot creators. You need other guys that can keep the ball moving but also get inside the perimeter and create shots of their own. And that is something we have seen consistently now for these past couple weeks from Gary Trent Jr. And with the outside shooting, you saw it again tonight, 2 of 2 on his threes. I think that's the one thing you'd love to see Gary Trent Jr. taking more threes in this game. But you suddenly have quite a few options on the perimeter. And that's maybe the biggest subplot of this season is you think back to last year and some of the depth issues that you had where you had a handful of one-way players. In other words, offense only or defense only that you were forced to play because you didn't really have much else in terms of the roster and options on your team. A big piece of that in the roster construction from a season ago was the Damian Lillard trade. You know, a number of fronts. You think about what it cost you, not just Drew Holiday. We mentioned that over and over and over. Grayson Allen was also in that trade. And Grayson Allen was a very valuable piece to the Bucks for the previous 2 years. Another guy that could fill a number of roles. And another guy that was, I thought, a capable defender. Oftentimes when you hear knocks of Grayson Allen's defense, you point to the Boston Celtics series in 2022. I will die on the hill that it looks much different if Chris Middleton is available and you're not asking Grayson Allen to take on a bit more than he probably should have, especially against an opponent like the Boston Celtics. But you were down those two pieces, and you get Damian Lillard in return. It's not just that trade-off. It's the fact that every other move you made that offseason in the summer of 2023 was done under the assumption that your point guard was Drew Holiday, and that was going to be your backcourt. You signed Malik Beasley. He makes a lot of sense when he's playing next to Drew Holiday. Malik Beasley is the offense. Drew Holiday is the defense. Every other move, same thing. Let's go to this offseason. You knew Damian Lillard was there. You knew Giannis is on your team. You knew Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez were there. Those are two guys that were also free agents a season ago. There was a lot of uncertainty, and there was a lot of kind of building the plane as it's in the air. That was not the case this offseason. So the roster itself fits better and makes more sense when we talk about those options and suddenly the depth that this team has, where you see Doc Rivers saying, hey, the last few minutes of the game, it was not a spot for Andre Jackson Jr. because we felt like A.J. Green was not only giving us shooting, he was doing a better job defending Cam Johnson, that you have other options you can go to opposed to just we're seven deep, so the guys that are playing are the guys that are playing, and we have no other options. So Gary Trent Jr. continuing to be a big piece of that, I think, is especially critical for this team. But the last one is arguably the most important one for this team as we continue to see this season progress and, more importantly, continue to see this player progress and what he is giving the Bucks. Of course, we are speaking of Ryan Rollins Jr. We'll get into that conversation and wrap up the show after this on Bucks Talk. 6-point loss on the home floor tonight for the Bucks, who now hit the road to close out the calendar year. So Saturday night in Chicago against the Bulls, and New Year's Eve, a matinee matchup in Indianapolis against the Pacers. So we mentioned a couple of names that are going to be very important for the Bucks, especially once they get back to full strength for an extended period of time. And one of those that we mentioned who it was but haven't dug into it quite yet is Ryan Rollins and what he's brought to this team. So the Bucks' three two-way contracts right now are Liam Robbins, Stanley Amude, who was their first free agent signing this past offseason, and Ryan Rollins, who was with the team last year. He has really started to catch on with this group. And there were scouts that loved him coming out of Toledo. He was in the Golden State Warriors system and organization. He was with the Washington Wizards before coming to the Bucks as well. He has great size for a point guard or combo guard, but especially very good wingspan. And tonight, what stood out the most was the differences offensively between DeLon Wright and Ryan Rollins Jr. I have mentioned a couple of times, I think DeLon Wright has been perfectly fine this season. This was not an especially good game from DeLon Wright tonight, but what stood out the most is the Bucks were offensively challenged tonight with, again, the league's leading scoring duo off the floor in Giannis and Damian Lillard. You need as much offensive punch as you can get from everybody else that's going to step on the floor. There were moments where DeLon Wright struggled to shoot the basketball tonight, so much so that the Brooklyn Nets were giving him the Ben Simmons treatment and just sagging off of it. You can't do that to Ryan Rollins. It's not just the shooting ability that he's brought. It's the quickness and the burst and the ability to finish at the rim as well, which has really stood out. Now, again, any coach, it's not just Doc Rivers, any coach in this league, you are going to give the benefit of the doubt to your veterans that have the longer track record of doing this. And in the case of DeLon Wright, as recently as last year in the playoffs against the Boston Celtics in the first round, had a terrific series and has a number of years of experience, not only overall, but in the playoffs as well. So he has that working for him. But it is indisputable, the more you see Ryan Rollins, there is more to like about his game on both ends of the floor. And the more you see him, the more it feels like he's really carving out a spot with this team. Now, it's going to get interesting. We're still a long ways away from this. But it is something to monitor and to keep in mind as we start to move into the calendar year, because, as we mentioned, he's on a two-way contract. And two-way players can spend 50 days with the NBA team during the regular season. I don't know how many Ryan Rollins has spent with this group. It is something to go back and start to track here. But Doc Rivers even addressed this, I believe, before the Bulls game, when this question started to come up of, hey, he's on a two-way, he's really starting to pop and show you guys something. When do you start to have that conversation of how do we create space on the roster so we can upgrade him from a two-way contract to a standard NBA contract? And then not only do we have him at our disposal for the rest of the year, we got him next year, theoretically the year after that as well. We have him under team control, and we can continue to develop him. As Doc Rivers said, the best guys are going to play, whether you're two-way, not even on the team, whatever it is. Like, the best guys are going to play. If you make a name for yourself, if you make an impact, we're going to find a way and a time to put you on the floor. So my advice would be just keep doing what you're doing. Everything will sort itself out. It's too early to get into, hey, how do you create that roster spot? It's going to eventually come to that point, though, with that 50-day threshold that Ryan Rollins, you would have to assume, is close to halfway there at this point. Maybe 20 have been used so far. So that is something to keep an eye on once we move into the month of January. The final two games on this calendar year are on the road Saturday night in Chicago for another one against the Bucks and the Bulls. So it feels like you see a lot of Wizards, Bulls, and Brooklyn Nets in this month of December to close things out for the Bucks. Saturday night, 7 o'clock tip from the Windy City. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk to you then.